Pickaxe.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Triforce Podcast. Guess what? We're 1 year old today.
Yay!
1 year old.
1 year old.
Woohoo!
Happy birthday to us.
Happy birthday to us,
guys.
Happy birthday, dear Triforce Podcast.
Happy birthday to us.
Awesome.
Yeah. Woo. Wow.
Woohoo. Wow. So that, you know, that means we did 37 podcasts. This is the 38th.
Yeah.
Which means we missed 15 weeks worth of podcasts last year.
That's pretty good.
We've been pretty consistent. That's good.
We've been good. Yeah, we're going to miss more too, right? Because like we got trips coming up.
Next week I'm in Vancouver we're going to miss two podcasts. Yeah. Oh.
So there you go. Already off to a great start in 2017.
I think 37 ain't bad.
I think that's great. I mean, let's be honest. When we started this, we weren't sure if people were going to like it. And we just thought...
Yeah, that's 36 more than I thought we'd ever do. So
yeah, we still don't really know if people like it. I guess it's hard to sort of tell, isn't it? Because we don't really look at
that. I see a lot of positive stuff about it. A lot of people say
that's true.
A lot of really nice things. And it's nice. It's nice to have people listen to it and like it. And say nice things. So I think we should give a shout out.
Rename the channel to the Triforce instead of having it called YogPod.
You know how I always imagine people listening to our podcast?
I'll do it now.
I always imagine Dana from Ghostbusters. You know,
right. Dana
Scully. You know that montage part where the Ghostbusters are like busting lots of ghosts.
Yeah.
And their ads are on TV and stuff like that. And like Venkman
is
just
too
like.
Big. No feet is too big.
Yeah, yeah. And the whole time, like, you know, Dana is like doing aerobics and then sometimes she's like cooking and like she's laughing and having a good time and falling madly in love with Peter Venkman and stuff.
Yeah.
And I feel like everybody who's listening to our Triforce podcast every week is like that, slowly falling in love with me specifically.
Right.
And doing various things, you know, like bleaching their cat's
anus, beehole,
and you know, sometimes grooming bugs out of their hairy dad's back,
right?
And you know, just various things, but doing this stuff, but laughing at the same time.
Yeah.
I feel like we bring just so much pleasure to people out there.
Not tooting
my own horn or anything.
If that's true, Sips, that means that a lot of people's armchairs are going to have demon arms coming out of them and attacking them and sucking them into a fridge in very short space of time. So watch out, ladies and gents.
Yeah, so if you live in a big high-rise apartment in New York and you have a funny little neighbor with glasses, you find that you're in a demon armchair at any point. Those are the signs that you need to watch out for.
And every time you look up at the building, you hear the music. Bum, bum, bum.
Da-na.
Move.
Yeah.
Find a new place.
You should move. Yeah, you should definitely move.
So Sips is down.
Yeah.
Down in Bristol.
Oh, yeah. We're on a road trip this
road
week.
Road trip.
We walked in together.
Yeah.
Mm. We chatted about his... Of course, I saw him, and he was stood outside the hotel on the side of the road, just looking... Gorgeous.
Flax,
dreamy.
Just for some context here, I haven't shaved or trimmed my disgusting beard in like 3 weeks.
Nice.
But
it's like hockey beard, like playoff beard.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite raggedy. So I looked at him and I was like, oh man, he's looking real, real dishy. And then I got closer and I thought, oh my God, actually it's a bit out of control. And then it sort of, as I got closer, I realized it's just basically a real bit of a mess. So I was like, I said, you look good from a distance.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I was like,
that's nice.
You need to get a trimmer and trim that down.
Yeah.
And then we got chatting about how what is it? Your dad is a gorilla or something?
He's pretty hairy, yeah.
Yeah. And then how when you get older, hair starts growing in weird places that you never thought would
happen. Don't tell anyone the places I told you about, though.
No.
It will remain a mystery for this.
I thought it was a puberty thing. Like, you know, when you get to your puberty, hair starts growing in strange places.
Yeah, no.
Watch out.
Nose hair becomes more of a deal, and like ear hair as well, the older you get.
Yeah, you start getting like
weird
tufts.
It's like old men, when they're really old, like 90 years old, their ears are enormous. Like, what's up with that? Why do your ears get so big in later
life?
They
never stop growing. That's it. Your ears don't stop growing. So you end up with big old man ears. I think that's true of men's ears anyway. I don't know if it's true of women's.
Yeah, I think it's cartilage, isn't it? So cartilage always keeps growing.
Well, women always have long hair so they can cover up their big ass ears, but fucking men don't. Like,
it's the same reason why older guys like us have bigger dicks.
Yeah, my dick just constantly keeps growing.
Keeps growing. Like a snake.
You know, like the older I get too, the less I think about using my dick for like certain things, but it's bigger than ever.
Yeah.
So like maybe I should reevaluate my game plan.
What are you thinking of doing with it? What were you going to use it for besides the obvious things?
I just want to swing it around.
I mean, do you look around the house and think, what could I fix today? And you think, I wonder if I could fit my dick in that. And that
a
would
bit
fix
of bread stuck at the bottom of the toaster.
I got a lot of free time.
That's a good one. Careful, you unplug it.
There's a bunch of gunge in the drain. Maybe if I just shove my dick in there,
get some suction going,
scoop it out.
What are you doing, honey?
I'm fucking the bathtub.
Oh no, he's a drain fucker. He's a drain fucker.
Ah, shit.
That's a common thing you need an excuse for.
He's a drain fucker. Oh my god.
So yeah. Now I was like, you should get a beard trimmer and just go over your whole body. Just do the whole thing. Get
no,
it all nice and even.
You can't do that. You can't do that.
No.
Why not?
Because if you trim it with like clippers, it doesn't get it all and you have stubble, and that's really annoying and itchy, and you get ingrown hairs.
No. You just trim it all down to like a stub, like 2 millimeters.
I'm an old school man, Lewis. I'm not one of these like new millennial men who has to groom himself and stuff. I don't believe in it, okay? I don't care about my nails and my cuticles. I don't give a fuck about my hair, really. You know, I don't give a shit about my beard. I don't need to, like, wax my eyebrows or anything like that. I don't need a full body wax.
What does Mrs.
Need, like,
Sips think of this?
Spray tan. She hates my beard.
Yeah, of course.
What does she hate about it? The fact that it makes you look like a terrible hobo or...
No, I think she just thinks that I look better clean shaven.
Right.
Like, I think she admires my facial features.
I think it...
Some of them are hidden by this beard, so...
But sometimes it goes the other way, right? Like, sometimes she gets used to having you with a beard, and then when you shave the beard off, she's like, oh, I don't like it without the beard now. You know, I think it's her, you know, it can change. Her taste might change. If you can make the beard stylish, Sips, if you can, like, you know, groom yourself a bit and be slightly less like the guy who's just crawled out of a sewer.
A skip.
A dumpster.
Yeah.
Skips. That's what you should change your name
what
to
were
Skips.
What were you doing in there? I was fucking the dumpster.
That's what happened. That's what happened with Terps, I think, and his wife, because she originally liked his, like, because he had that very thin line beard, didn't he?
Yes.
Do you remember? And she really liked that. And then he grew it out
what's
into
that
a beard
known
and
as?
She hated
what's,
it.
What's the trade term for that? It's like a pencil beard.
Yeah, I guess.
A pencil mustache. Remember Brian Ferry's pencil mustache?
Yeah.
No.
But that was part of his whole look, wasn't it? Like, as a kind of a guy that looked like a
grifter.
Yeah,
I could go for something like that, though. Do you think I could pull it off?
No.
I'd like to see it.
Okay.
No, don't do it.
No, Flax is, like, pretty adamant.
Let's get you a set of clippers, and we'll do it this afternoon. We'll just see how it looks.
Just clip it up.
You can do a video where you give Sips a variety of beard styles using the clippers.
Well, you could do like a dare to compare, you know, like on those infomercials, they're like, you could wax your face or you could stick to the old method of hacking away with a razor blade. Look at the difference. And then you see the guy's face and like half of it is just like really gross and like cut up and stuff. And the other half he's just like bald as a baby because of this new fucking JML product. Like,
do people like, do hairy people wax their whole bodies? Like, I could imagine them, it would be a bit of an experience.
I see people, you see a lot of people in pornography that have obviously waxed their entire bodies.
Yeah, well, that brings me to the, like Lewis was saying today, we were talking about this on the way in. He's talking about having a full body wax. And
we
Lewis
were right
said,
in the middle of this and the Yognor bumped into us and was like, oh my God, it's you guys.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was
we
pretty
had a
funny
chat
too, yeah.
with him.
We chatted to, we didn't tell him about the body hair stuff though.
It was quiet.
Flow and we just sort of stopped.
Yeah.
But then when we resumed, Lewis sort of made the comment that a lot of, you know, if you're getting rid of your body hair, it's for sexual reasons.
It's a sex thing, right?
It's a sex
thing.
Yeah, obviously, yeah.
I don't know if it is, though,
well,
sometimes.
Well, P-Flex just jumps to porn straight away about it.
Yeah, I know. Like, that's your first protocol. But, like, I think sometimes, like, you know, like a woman isn't bleaching and waxing her mustache for as a sex thing. I think that's just more of like a I don't want to have a mustache thing.
Yeah.
I wouldn't relate that necessarily to a sex thing.
Well, there's like a level of personal grooming that you do for yourself.
As well, we're kind of I think men groom themselves, and this is obviously going to be another comment-worthy stereotype or whatever, but I think men generally groom themselves and look after themselves to attract women, but women tend to groom themselves and do all that kind of stuff partly to attract men, but also because other women are extremely judgmental about how women look.
They do it to feel good about themselves, though, too, right?
It's true, but I know for a fact that women look at other women's outfits a lot more than men look at women's outfits.
Here's a question for you, P-Flex.
Yeah.
Is it normal for a woman to shave her arms?
Normal in what culture, Lewis?
Is this
the cultural thing. Like, I think some people... I think if you're from, like, say, the Mediterranean, you're gonna have, like, darker hair, right?
Shaving legs, sure, that's very accepted, okay? Very, very...
Yeah, but some people have hairy arms that they want to shave their arms.
Do you mean arms as in... Not their underarms, you mean, like, their arms?
Actual arms.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen that. Do women do that?
Well, exactly.
Oh, man, some women do, though.
I was asking Zips about this. It does seem unusual.
Yeah, well, it...
But then
yeah,
again, if you're doing the legs and the underarms anyway, it's not that much harder just to do the
arms. I think if you have, like, dark, really dark hair... You know, like, some women you see, they have, like, really dark hair, but they have really dark eyebrows, they have, like, darker eyes and stuff, and then... If you look up close, yeah, they're going to have, like, more visible arm hair in some cases, and maybe, like, a little bit of a mustache as well.
But I don't think that's one of the things that's frowned upon, kind of, is it?
Like, how can you frown upon that? Like, women's arms, they're not hairy like a man's hairy arms. It's, like, light hair, you know? Even if it's dark, it's not bushy. They don't look
but
Popeye.
You can. It is more noticeable, and maybe that's why they do it.
I don't think it. But I don't think it bothers anybody.
They just want to have bald arms.
Is anybody bothered by it? Like, has anyone ever said she's beautiful, but her arms have a very faint downy hair on them? I don't know.
Okay, good. I'm glad you're with me on that. I thought that was a little bit.
I think
unusual.
That would bug me a little bit. I would definitely notice. I would think I would be like, you know what, fucking. You ever consider waxing your arms? Like, fucking hairy as hell. Like, hairier than mine.
She'll be really self-conscious about her arms then, Sips. You can't do that.
Could you tell him to go fuck himself?
The way you've got to... Shut up, P-Flex. The way you've got to do it, okay, is gently. Like, she's got very smooth arms. You know, like pointing at like a model in a magazine
awful.
Kind of thing.
You're such an awful person, Lewis.
No,
you're
that's
so
not
mean.
How you do it. That's not how you do it, Lewis. When you're being intimate... You're like in the throes of passion. Then you go like, God, I got like, sorry. And says, what's wrong? Oh, fuck, I got like some rug burn or something on my inner arm. I don't know how that's happened. Weird. Huh? Where did this rug burn come from?
I've got these strange downy hairs in my teeth from kissing your arm.
I'm just kissing your arm and I've got, hang on. There's a hair wrapped around my tongue.
That's a hair ball.
You guys are awful.
There's nothing like getting her in the mood.
I think, you know, one thing you could do if you wanted to get it subtly across but make out like it wasn't a problem for you is when you're having sex with a woman with hairy arms, you say, yeah, you fucking take it, you hairy bitch. To see if she stops you. Like, whoa. What do you mean, hairy bitch? What are you talking about?
It's like that. It's like that classic, you know, when you say the wrong name during sex. You know, like you're having sex with Rhonda, and then you're like, "Ooh, Pamela" or whatever.
God,
but instead, you go like, "Oh, hairy arms."
Oh yeah. Fucking hairy bitch.
What did you call me? Hairy? My arms are. Hang on a second. I'll be back in a minute. I gotta go get my meat.
Oh my goodness, oh, Jesus! God. So yeah, like that's a thing that you ladies now need to be paranoid about for no reason.
Nah, you don't. Man, nobody minds a bit of hair. Like, look back in the '80s. Like, you know, when there was nudity on TV in the '80s or whatever, like people were hairy as fuck. You know, like I'm not even talking about like a quaint bush. I'm talking about a sprawling megalopolis
like a
of a bush
corn maze.
That like connects up to like the fucking hips and stuff. Like,
corn maze.
And nobody gave a shit. Like that was just, you know, this is before the days of you know, excessive personal grooming, right? Mm. So it's like everybody was just like, I'm hairy, you're hairy. let's get it on.
Yeah, that's
you know true.
What?
I blame a lot of this stuff on celebrity culture coming out of mainly out of Hollywood. If you think about all this kind of stuff like colonic irrigation, obsessive hair removal, obsessive
bleaching
body sculpting, butthole bleaching, it all comes around from people who are so rich and so beautiful that they look at themselves and they think, what tiny imperfection am I willing to spend a fortune correcting?
Yeah, yeah.
And finally, it comes down to, damn, you know, my butthole isn't peachy white like it should be. And I think that is the final fucking
it's
threshold.
It's not puckered up like a cat.
What next?
So
what is next? I mean, we've had...
Can we do a beehole tuck?
Tongue scraping was one that I didn't think would ever happen. Like, it never ends. Eyeball correcting. What's that to get
the white stuff off your tongue?
Yeah, but it's there because you've been eating and drinking, and now people are scraping their tongues.
Oh my God.
It's fucking nuts.
You're not wrong, P-Flex. Like, oh my God, there's such a long list. You've got to, like... You got to exfoliate and cleanse and scrape your tongue. You've got to like whiten your teeth and trim your nails and fucking file them with a special thing. You've got to like rub stupid fucking vitamin D stuff into your hands. You've got to use hand cream. You've got to like, oh my God, it's so much. You have to go to the gym
and you have to eat properly.
That's
the thing, kids.
Take the supplements.
No, Lewis is describing his life.
I totally see where you're coming from, like PFAX. But there is like a plastic surgery thing that men are doing that's quite popular right now. And it's a scrotal lift, right?
Okay.
So it's like having...
What, so it doesn't hang down as
much like a cow's udder? It's not so attractive to have a big old dangly sack going on. So you
I disagree, man. My fucking sack is so big, like, and so droopy.
Is it like Santa's sack at the end of the Christmas Eve when he's delivered almost all the toys? Just a couple of toys left in the bottom of the sack. What I want to know is, can you get scrotal smoothing so it's perfectly sheer like a globe, like a perfect globe?
Yeah, no, because it's kind of like, because your sack is like a bit bumpy and stuff.
It's wrinkled and hairy.
It's a wrinkled up and like hairy and whatever.
Can we get
I guess guys like shave their balls. I would never.
No, Jesus.
Personally, I'd be way too scared to have a sharp object close to my balls.
Whoa. First of all, it's not actually that difficult to shave your balls. Secondly, there's like two stages of like, because basically the whole point of your ball sack, I feel like I should educate you, is because your balls are supposed to be kept at like a specific temperature.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And so there's two different saggy normal balls, right? And there's this like when it's cold.
There's room temperature
yeah, like,
balls.
Like wrinkled prune balls. That,
yeah,
retreating
there's,
balls.
What happens
if you go into really warm water? Because I always feel like my scrotum gets bigger in warm water. Like my balls are desperately trying to find a way out, and there's no way out. So my scrotum's like it's at the limit of its escape possibilities. It's like, that's it. We've gone as far as we can. Every man for himself. But at that point, your balls are in full panic mode and they just shut down.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and your sack just becomes this empty Sainsbury's bag blowing in the wind kind of thing. I know what you mean.
Like when it's cold, obviously there's a retreat inside the igloo. Like they, you know, it hides, the balls hide inside your body. They're like, oh, it's so cold, let's huddle together for warmth. And you think that's cool. Okay. They've got that down. But when it's really hot,
they know how to do that.
I think, you know, your poor balls.
I guess that's probably because, you know, we're just not born for it. We're not this climate. You know,
if you have like a really, really hot shower, have you guys ever had, or a hot bath? You've had a hot bath, but it's too hot.
Yeah.
And when you get out of the bath, you're like sweating a lot and stuff. My balls are literally dragging on the ground at that point. Like they're so fucking loose and like warm and stuff.
We've each said exactly that in the last. Yeah, we've described our balls. But shall we just carry on?
Well, welcome to the Triforce Ballcast. This is where we all balls.
Jeez, this
all
another
the time.
One. Every once in a while, we just go off on these big ball and dick tangents.
But you know what's nice about it,
guys?
It's a topic that we actually have a good understanding of. Like we really
do. Nobody's ever going to really say
actually,
you guys are wrong. Me and my buddies at high school, we shave our balls every day and we have sex with each other. So nice try, Triforce. Fucking get with the times.
Oh shit. Well, good for you guys. No, Shaving your balls, just it's a thing. You can do
don't
it.
Don't do it. No one cares.
Don't shave your balls.
No one cares.
Who's looking at your balls anyway?
Who cares? Like, we've talked about this before. It's the forgotten part of the male anatomy. No one gives a shit.
Yeah.
No woman out there is saying, fucking look at the balls on that bastard. Oh, yeah.
You never know.
I don't know. Some women like
if you're a lady into balls, let us know. I'd love to know.
Why
no, but
not
like,
right
you know, in. Like in the 70s, you know, you see the footage of like, you know, Led Zeppelin and stuff. And Robert Plant wore pants that were
right.
much too small and too tight. And the bulge, like it was a thing.
Oh,
back,
yeah, yeah.
Definitely in the 70s where like, you know, kind of like it was like a thing that guys did. Like, they wanted to show off their bulge. And like, I don't know. A man's bulge is just not very nice, is it?
It's a very specific shape.
It's just like a weird fucking... You know, bulge, it's, yeah.
If you didn't have the balls, though, it would look weird.
It would, yeah.
It would look really weird.
It would
just
look like
weird.
You have a banana in your pants.
I think, obviously, that there's the hint of something there. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not like a pair of boobs. Like, boobs are almost impossible to hide. It's a big, like, if you compare...
Yeah, they're nice to look at, too.
And why
like,
would
they're
you
both
try
the
and
same
hide them?
Size,
right, exactly.
Like,
but what I'm saying is, even if you wanted to wear the biggest, wooliest jumper possible, it's still very obvious if a woman has big boobs,
yeah.
right? But, I mean, a guy can wear just slightly baggy trousers. And unless he's packing a fucking cannon down there, you know, you're not really going to know. You're going to know there's something in there because he's got, like, just that little zip is all that's separating you from what you seek. But instead, with a pair of boobs, you can't even hide them. You can't.
They're right there.
So I do feel, you know, I feel bad for ladies that perhaps don't want their massive knockers, their massive glorious orbs on show. Tough. We can see them and we appreciate it.
I think, I was thinking about this the other day, but we're at this stage where it's coming to the end of sort of winter, starting to be spring again.
Yep.
And it's been a very long time since anyone out in public has seen any skin.
Legs, oh,
right?
I can't wait.
At all.
Or boobs.
And so when you see a bit, it's kind of shocking. Like when I watched the Hatfilm shipping and receiving video where Trot's in the shower, it was a bit like, oh my God, that's too much. But I think if I'd seen that at the end of summer, after you walk down the high street and there's like just naked men, all topless men everywhere, you know, walking around in English summertime,
right.
All of these tattooed, hairy backed men, they just walking around with their shirts off, and women just wearing bikinis, just like all these beautiful women have just come out of nowhere.
Yeah,
I mean,
you know,
it's amazing.
It's a different world. It's like, wow.
It's the best thing about summer, honestly, is seeing all these wonderful, beautiful people.
If I'd seen that Hatfield's Valentine's movie at the end of summer, I wouldn't have batted an eyelid probably about Trot being naked.
Yeah, seeing
but
it
now,
in the winter, I know what you mean.
I'm like, bloody hell, I haven't seen a nipple for
fucking
like
hell,
ages.
Fucking hell, mate, put a scarf on or something, would you? You're fucking free.
I guess it's not so much a nipple, but a nipple of someone I know, I guess. Do you know what I mean? Like,
a known
in a sense,
nipple.
Yeah, like a little, I don't know, there's something a little bit
did you get
more
a frisson of excitement ran through you?
Yeah, but maybe.
Oh, a nipple.
Yeah,
a nipple of someone I know.
Of someone I know, it's like a little bit secret, you know, a little bit special. Would you take part in like a calendar, a Yogscast swimsuit calendar, if we did one, right? It would be tastefully done. It would be like the Calendar Girls calendar. Do you remember where they
the
did the Calendar Girls?
So and you get like a proper photographer in. And...
Yeah, and then you have two big jugs of milk and you kind of, you know, you hide behind those, you know, tastefully.
I would
like
need
that
like
Austin
a vat,
Powers
though.
Movie at the
I'd
start.
Need a vat.
Do you remember that?
No.
So I think it would be... people know what I mean. That big scene where he's naked, but, you know, he's kind of got like a big
bowl of
fruit in front
of him.
Yeah, so we'd have to. We could do it like that, PFLAC. So you could decide how much you
want to
show.
Well, you want me to get naked for a calendar, dude? No one's buying that shit.
I'm not asking you to do it. I'm just wondering whether you would be up for it.
I don't know if we're. Are we that hard up?
Yeah.
No, for charity or something for fun.
Like, is it what's not working? Like, can we instead of doing that, can we just like do something else better to make more money, and then we wouldn't have to do this?
I'm just wondering because I think certain people would be very up for showing off their pecs and stuff, like stripping and Trot and Shin's got a good old bod on him.
Yeah, but stripping's not even. He's left us though. Like, what we'd still do a calendar with him?
Well, I'd maybe not. Terps would be up for it, getting his guns
big,
out.
Big old dad
Smithy,
bod out.
He's got a good old bod on him.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm thinking like already there's like five or six, you know.
But what about women though?
We don't have any women here at the Yogscast.
Yeah, they've all left, yeah.
Yeah. So it would be a male It would be something that would go up. It'd
be a real sausage party.
Do you remember we're back in like a garage, a CD, like a local illegal garage?
Yeah.
They'd have a sexy girl character on the wall.
Yeah.
Right. And I assume that still is a thing.
I think normal garages do as well. Like it's a very male occupied space, isn't it? So
yeah, is that still a thing that you can get away with in like a modern?
I'm sure you can.
Garage environment.
You might have to like put it in a locker or something instead of just being like out in the open.
It used to just be out in the in the open in the main office area.
Like there's still like page Hot 3 and stuff like that. You know, people.
Is it as common or is it like dying? Are they like more explicit now?
I think it depends on who you're working with. Like if you're, it's like anything. If you have a shop and you're expecting,
if you're the janitor at a women's refuge, like maybe that's not
right.
Totally acceptable.
Yeah,
I see.
Probably not. But yeah, I've been to mechanics. It's mostly guys that work in these places. All the mechanics around here I've been to, it's all a bunch of young guys working in there. They're stuck around stinky men all day. Christ, let him have a fucking calendar of some women. Jesus, is that really such a problem? I don't think there's an issue with it.
I'm not trying to shut it down. I'm just saying that I don't know if people are still doing it these days.
Who's going
to
march in there? You're going to tell the mechanic, the guy who's got your car, you shouldn't have that counter. That's offensive. He's going to be like, oh, really? Well, guess what? Your gearbox just fell off. Like, no, he can have the counter. He's holding you ransom. He's got your precious car. He can have whatever counter he wants up there. It's just people in swimsuits, for Christ's sake. If he was hanging a Razzle pile-up centerfold in the middle there, and there's just, it's all going on, then fair enough. You might say that's a little inappropriate.
Mostly the tits were out when I remember.
Yeah, but that's like page
them.
3.
Okay.
You can buy that in a fucking newsagent. It's not top shelf. That's bottom shelf.
But would you cut a page 3 out and stick it on the wall in your garage? No. Yeah.
No, just in my hallway.
Some people would. I'll tell you one thing that you barely ever see, if ever, is you go into a mechanic's shop and you look over where you expect to see the pinup calendar hanging, and there is a calendar there, but it's like half-naked firefighters.
That would be something. Can you imagine?
Right, okay.
You never really see
you
that.
Don't. Yeah, it's
maybe
true.
Maybe they've recruited some, young female mechanics, and they're running the shop now.
I guarantee do, the women will be saying, yeah, you can hang your calendar, but we want to hang our calendar. And I reckon the guys would be like, it's not worth it.
They got the Diet Coke guy calendar up in there.
All right, but we get to have a fireman calendar.
Fucking window cleaning without his shirt on.
I'm just saying, I think people would like to see a bit of PFLAX and SIPs and
Terps
dad
calendar. I don't know if
action.
They do, Lewis. I feel like maybe you're reading the market wrong on this one.
Okay, well, I might be.
I mean, we do a podcast every week where nobody can see us, and there's a good reason for that.
Yeah. Just because you go to the fucking gym now, you can't just suddenly say, hey guys, I'll be going to the gym for a week. Let's go. Let's get him out. Woo! Look at my guns. Woohoo! Woo! Maybe give it 6 months, Lewis, and when you're fucking huge, then you can push this again.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
I'll come back to it. Is your personal trainer going to like put you on some sort of like protein diet or something to like do some weight gain? Because like, if you're trying to bulk up, no offense, but like,
yeah, I know you saw you literally saw me today. Yes. Yeah. I realize I am as skinny as ever.
Like you look like you've spent like. The best part of 8 years, like in a Viet Cong prison, so
building a railway.
Yeah, so like, I don't know. Does he have any plans to like just put you on a pasta diet or something to help you fucking build up some mass or what?
Is that how it works? I don't know, Sips. Look, I'm not thinking about being in it, but I was just it was a thing that was posted on the Reddit for a while, and everyone was keen to see us embarrass ourselves, and I just wondered whether. Because, it could be done tastefully, guys. Like, it doesn't have to be, like, full nude. You don't have to, like, get your fucking dick out.
I know, but at the same time, I don't need to take my clothes off to embarrass myself. I'm perfectly capable on a daily basis of embarrassing myself
in numerous ways.
Fun and inventive ways. So.
I get it. All right. Well, listen, I'll table that for discussion in future. Yeah,
tabled.
Holy shit. Nice. Oh, my God. So have you guys done anything good this week? Anything fun? Anything
I went to
unusual?
My kids' assembly. She had assembly this morning. That's why we recorded a little late. So she is 5 and, they're adorable at that age. And they had this little assembly planned and we had to go in there because it's Mother's Day and spring is coming. So they had all these little songs that they prepared and They all have to have a little line, and they have to come up to the microphone, and they're like,
"Spring is my favorite season because of the flowers and the birds come out to play."
Yeah, and everybody comes out like that. So they all get a turn to do that. And there was this one dad who obviously felt that he had this like terrific relationship with the teacher, because he thought that the assembly wasn't like a one-way thing, like there was some kind of fucking audience interaction. So the guy's constantly chipping in with these funny comments and like having jokes to the teacher. He had a really loud kind of laugh after all his jokes. And I just thought, would you shut the fuck up? Like, I wanted to say to him, yeah. I wanted to tap him on the shoulder and say, "Excuse me, sir, this is not some kind of Brechtian, you know, fourth wall is gone, audience interaction shit. Just shut the fuck up and let us hear our kids sing the songs. If you want to have a little joke with the teacher, have a little joke with the teacher on your own time. I'm trying to record my kid singing her song, holding up a picture she did of her mum, and you are not fucking helping." But I didn't say that. I just tucked it.
No, but people like that drive me nuts, though, because you're sitting there and they're like...
I like how you're informing him now via the video of the podcast.
If you're listening, fuck you.
You know, like, people that do that kind of shit and they're all, like, really overly, like loved up with their kids and stuff. And you just think, what are you trying to fucking prove here? Yep. What, you love your kids more than I love mine? Like, fucking get a life, you fucking idiot. Yep. Like, he probably goes home and fucking ignores his kids.
Yeah.
And then when the minute he's out in public, all of a sudden, fucking dad of the year is turned on.
He's probably a murderer He's a fucking murderer.
Yeah, he probably fucking is. He probably fucking is. These people are the worst. Like, you know, he's probably just going to have a fucking breakdown in a couple of years. Like, just trying to lead this double life.
Yep.
Meanwhile, the rest of us normal people who don't feel the need to get up and fucking interact with the children's assembly are just going to be regular old fucking, you know, burnt out husks of people.
Well, that went, that wasn't the direction I thought that would take. I thought you were going to say...
Not having a big like, breakdown.
We won't
like,
make a big deal about it, is the thing, right?
Yeah.
But he was one of those guys, like, he had, obviously, I was like, I go to pick up my kids, and I see the teacher, and I think, all right, maybe he knows the teacher, but he's one of those guys, and you see these people, he seems to know everybody a little bit, but his interactions with each of them is so over the top that you'd think that they'd literally just come from some amazing party, or they'd all just been on holiday together and I hadn't been invited, and they have some kind of crazy good relationship with everybody. And he's like, "Hey, all right, how's it going? Hey." And I listen in on what they're saying, and it's nothing. It's just like empty talk. It's like the one thing that he can remember about his previous interaction with these people is for some reason the funniest thing. And he brings it up again and laughs his head off. I'm trying to give you an example, but it would be something like, you know, let's say so some very teeny tiny embarrassing thing had happened. Like someone had worn odd socks, say, and he'd noticed it. So the next time he sees them, he'll be like, "You got those odd socks on today?" And they'll be like, "Yeah. Like that. Like that's the funniest fucking thing. Oh, my, yeah, see you next time. Right. Like, I'm out. Peace, everybody. Thanks for watching. I'll be here tomorrow to pick up my fucking kid again."
That's such an office-y thing as well, isn't it? Like, to pick up on something stupid like that and just mention it every day.
Oh, God. So he's like that guy, but in assembly. So, but other than that, the assembly was great. I give it 8 out of 10.
Do you know what? I think Sips's point was that, you know, maybe by not calling him up on it and not like actually, you know, taking him down a peg, you've stopped that family, that murderer from just going loose, you know, you put it off.
Yeah. If you,
for another year, maybe,
yeah. Because the thing is, like, if you break him down,
if
you trigger him,
he'll go home and take it out on the kids.
Yeah, of course.
I'm sure he's a great dad. I'm just saying, I wish sometimes I wasn't a cynical, hateful person who was annoyed by very simple social interactions with other people. Like, I wish that I could just be that kind of person who could just go and just be a nice person. But I can't do it. When someone is having a boring conversation with me, I just tune out. My eldest daughter does the same thing.
Yeah.
She's not interested. She stops listening. That's it. I'm tuning out. I'm still going to smile and nod, but I'm just not here. I just can't help it. Yeah. I wish I was a normal person.
I mean, this
person.
Is us for like 3/4 of this podcast. We don't really listen to each other. Most people just
that's not
wait
true.
For the gaps.
No, I don't.
In a conversation
listen,
to say
we
what
listen.
I want to say.
We react
listen to
very
period.
Strongly to everything that we say. Like if you told the gym guy that you had a sore throat because you've been sucking so many dicks, that stuck in my mind. I remember you saying that. And that was definitely...
Yeah, that was alarm bells for me, really. That's when I realized that, like, hang on. Like, you know, you read about this kind of stuff.
This is not a normal guy.
It's like, it's not a midlife crisis. It's like, You know, sometimes it's like it goes undiagnosed, but like you can get like early onset dementia and people start acting like this. You know, they start sort of like, you know, almost like lashing out a bit, or like, you know, they'll be like happily married and but they'll maintain a Tinder profile and date and stuff, you know, and people are like, oh, fuck, he must just be having like a really crazy midlife crisis. And then 2 years later, he's like completely full on dementia and he's only like 25 years old. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So maybe that's coming, Lewis. I'm just saying.
Well, yeah. It's let's hope not. Let's hope not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'd be good if that wasn't the case. But do you feel like a bit funny? Like, do you feel like forgetful, or you know, sometimes you go home, but like you're trying to open the front door and the key doesn't work, and you realize you're not at home. You're at somebody else's house.
God. You're at the house that you lived in 5 years ago,
and you're like going in the backyard, going, "Mr. Fluffers, are you back here? You're back
Mr.
here,
Mr. Fluffers."
Cat's been dead for like 15 years.
You find the grave.
Mr. Fluffers!
We're like, what?
Where are you?
That reminds me, do you remember that there was that, I still have yet to figure out if it was just a internet rumor or if it was true, that the guy, what was his name? What was the guy that wrote Garfield? Was it John Harris or something? What was
no,
his name?
It was Jim Davidson.
Jim Davidson. So
Jim Davidson. Jim Davidson. Or David,
I think it was, or Jim Davis, think, wasn't yeah. it? Just Jim Davis?
Jim Davis.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Jim Dave, something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, so Jim Davis. Yeah, yeah. So
it's Jim.
If you look at the very sort of there, he wrote these very dark versions of Garfield, where Garfield, that Odie and John and all that had died or had left him, and he was just abandoned in the house. And all it was this unbelievably bleak. Like, it was drawn just like Garfield. I'm sure it wasn't real. But
hey, Odie, you want some lasagna?
And there's no one there.
Suck my
it's just
dick
dark.
First.
There's no one else there. He's just alone in the house, like this hungry, scared cat who's just sleeping in this corner, this dark corner with all
Fuck.
Cobwebs and everything. It was like a series of them. And I'm sure it was bullshit, but I remember thinking it would have been an amazing sign-off to the abysmal Garfield series. If actually Jim Davis was like, do you know what? I've been fucking with you the whole time. If now you've got to reread all the Garfields, there's a whole second level, a third level going on there.
Oh,
but there
shit.
Was not.
Hey, do you remember The Far Side?
Yeah,
remember
yeah.
Remember those? Fuck, those were so good. They were like, they used to get one in the paper like every day, and they were so fucking funny.
I'm looking up the Garfield thing, and it's true. It did happen. You can look it up.
Whoa.
If you look up
what, he
Garfield
wrote a
horror yeah,
strip.
It's on the Comic Alliance website. The scariest comic of all time is a Garfield story from 1989. That's what the title of the story is, by Chris Sims from 2014, and it's real. And it was published, and it ends with him clearly hallucinating that everything is real, and he's just living in a dilapidated house. And the final panel says, locked fast within a time when he no longer exists, Garfield grapples with his greatest fear, loneliness. That's the end of the fucking panel. And then it goes
shit.
On, and he just denies everything and carries on living his life. But he just imagines that everything's all right. That's how. And then just Garfield just carries on as if nothing happened.
Fuck.
Did Jim Davis just go through some sort of weird midlife crisis?
I just think
no, it's one of those things when you
started going to the
when
gym,
you're successful,
started waxing his balls.
When you've done something, because like, you know, you gotta appreciate that
calendar.
Jim Davis would have created countless cartoon characters and tried to get his comic strips shown in papers and stuff like that. You know, it's the same with like Walt Disney, like all these sort of like famous people who have developed an iconic character. You know, the first one that they made isn't the one that just propelled them to success or whatever. Like, it's a huge process. And when you find the one that sticks and the one that does give you the success, you know, he would have had to write countless, countless stories and comic strips for Garfield. And in the end, he probably just fucking hated Garfield. You know what I mean? Like, but felt like he had to just keep doing it because that was how he's making a living or whatever. So I think it's natural every once in a while for these people to go down like a darker tangent with it and explore some, you know, some different avenues or whatever.
He was stuck making fucking Garfield for like decades.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've read Garfield, has it ever made you laugh? Have you ever thought, oh,
not,
Garfield?
Not once.
It's awful.
I watched the Christmas special. I didn't laugh. I was a kid as well, and I did not laugh once.
Yeah, it's not funny. That's because
it's
sucks.
Just not funny. But
and so
at the
he's
same
had to
time,
do that for decades. He's obviously, I mean, he hasn't had to do it, but he's made a lot of money out of it. It must be a great life. You write shit that isn't even funny. You draw
sucks.
A stupid orange cat.
I mean, I don't know if it sucks, though. It's not funny, but it was pleasant enough to read. I wouldn't say it sucks. I would just
say
that it's not
say?
Funny.
It's
I would
not
say
funny.
That
It's a comic strip that isn't funny. Isn't that inherently?
I think that every comic strip that appeared in newspapers was not funny. Like, I never busted a gut laughing at a comic strip that appears in a paper, except for occasionally The Far Side.
Was
the exception.
Yeah, like sometimes stuff does make you laugh. I mean, I think people who end up having to do the same old shit every day do hate stuff. Like, I remember Arthur Conan Doyle is the famous one who hated Sherlock Holmes. He really hated him and tried to kill him multiple times, and he got really just sick of how... I think he was, in a way, like, very jealous. Like, well, I think one of the things that Arthur Conan Doyle said was that, one of the worst things that can happen to me in my life is that Sherlock Holmes is what I'm remembered for, kind of thing, or something like this, you know. And fuck, what else? No one knows anything else he did.
And just Sherlock Holmes. And then, he's revived time and time again, you know. Like, now he's popular again because there's a TV show with them.
Well, I think that's more to do with because Sherlock Holmes is out of copyright now. Do you know what I mean? It's one of these things before...
Right?
And so people can make any old shit. That's why there are so many Sherlock Holmes things, because all the original books and the name is out of copyright. And see, it's one of these things that happened just before Disney. And since Disney, everything has been fully locked down on the copyright, and no one can pretty much make derivative versions of anything. That's why a lot of the fairy tales as well that are out of copyright are able to be remade again and again.
But in the early 1900s, like when Disney was starting out, there were still copyrights on some of the fairy tales.
Well,
a lot of the Disney stuff came
from non-copyrighted stuff. You know, that they used a lot of the big Disney franchises that are now very well known as Disney were based on stuff that was previously non-copyright.
I think it was Alice in Wonderland was one that Disney wanted to do, and he had to buy the copyright, and reluctantly it was sold to Disney. And then the people behind the original fairy tale, Alice in Wonderland, were just like, oh, what have we fucking done? Like, they hated the movie and everything. And like, they just like, you know, it was this,
they
something
hated
that was important.
The Disney.
Yeah. Apparently they did. Yeah.
When I was a kid, that movie was so bizarre. Like, it was absolutely bonkers, but I kind of liked it. I don't know why. I think because it was so surreal.
I mentioned
surreal.
This like on a previous podcast, but like the early Disney movies were super hit and miss. Like some of them did like exceptionally well, and some of them just totally flopped. But it was it was in the 80s when they started re-releasing them on VHS. That's when Disney really fucking struck gold. Like, because when most of these movies were released, it was during the war and stuff. Nobody had money to go to the movies. Right. They just weren't appreciated. There was other stuff going on.
Yeah.
And a lot of them were just big flops. But now they're just like these timeless classics because all of these like baby boomers bought them on VHS. And, you know, now they have a Disney collection
on
DVD and shit like that.
Do you remember Disney went through that stage in the 70s when all they seemed to do was make, I'm sure we've talked about this before, movies, fuck me, and last time we talked about it, I forgot her cocking name as well.
The
woman out of Silence of the Lambs, what's her fucking, Jodie Foster, right?
Jodie Foster.
I'm sure those Herbie movies were Disney movies. They just made all these live action fucking movies.
Yeah.
I think they had no idea what they were doing. And then along came that 80s, 90s revival for Disney when they suddenly realized, why don't we just make cartoons and stick songs in them? And they made shit like The Lion King and all that stuff.
Yeah,
and it was
huge. That's it. That was their big fucking, the thing. It was like three movies. It was The Little Mermaid, The Lion King, and Aladdin.
Those were the three
fucking gigantic movies. But when they made The Little Mermaid in 89, they hadn't made an animated feature film for like 15 years or something.
Yeah. Mm.
It's nuts. I think the last one they made was like The Jungle Book or something. And then Walt Disney died, and then they didn't do any after that.
And they realized one else could draw in the whole of Disney. They were like, he did all the drawings.
Yeah, they're like, we have this animation studio and none of these fucking guys can draw.
What do we do? Get Jodie Foster.
It's weird. Yeah, I read a lot about Disney. I was interested like in the whole story, and it's a good, like, if you look up a bunch of stuff on Wikipedia and how Disney has changed and stuff, it's interesting. I'm sure I mentioned all this before. Mm. I don't want to talk
like,
about it too much.
The thing is, when I grew up in the I only really remember the 80s. I don't remember much of the 70s at all. But when I in the 80s, it was just Star Wars, Indiana Jones. That was it. Like, that was my obsession.
They
was
re-released all of the Star Wars stuff, all of the original Star Wars movies into theaters. Because I remember seeing, I remember going to see Return of the Jedi when I was really young in theater. And I think all the other ones too. I must have been like 8 or 9 years old.
Right. So when what year would that have been? Because I saw those the first time around. Because I think, I turned 41 like this month. In like 20 days, I turned 41.
Yeah, yeah. It was like 80, I guess it was like 86, 87 okay. that I would have probably seen them when they were re-released in theaters. So,
because that was when you didn't used to be able to buy movies on VHS for like a decade after they came out.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
I remember you go to the video store and there'd be nothing. And then
Shit, the turnaround time now is insane.
It's crazy.
It's like 2 weeks after it's not in theaters. It's like on iTunes and everything. Like,
and it costs like £200 to buy Star Wars on VHS when they very first came out. Because I'd go in the video store and they'd have the videos there, and you could buy the video, but it would cost you a fucking fortune, because the idea of home viewing and everything was the movie theaters were still terrified. What if people want to watch it in their houses? They won't buy popcorn anymore. And they, I mean, it's amazing how much has changed. You look at Netflix now and all this kind of stuff.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it's nuts. Like, it's crazy. I remember being a kid and going to like the video store. We had this place called Jumbo Video.
Right.
Had like a big elephant in like the logo and stuff. So you'd go to Jumbo Video, and it was this huge store, like, you know, you're talking like the biggest Blockbuster you've ever been into. And there was free popcorn. There was a popcorn machine, so you could like fill up a little bag full of popcorn. And as you walked around and picked what movies you wanted to rent and stuff, you're like eating popcorn.
Wow.
There was an adult section in the back with a door that said like adults only. And there was like a big video game section. So like all like NES games, like Sega, Genesis and whatever, like Super Nintendo. And like, it was a big thing. Like on a Friday night, we'd go like after school, after dinner, drive down to the movie store. My parents would rent like a bunch of movies.
That must have been like heaven as a kid. I can imagine
it
like
was great.
The feel.
Yeah, they had like, you know, rent six for the price of like three or whatever. So I'd get like a couple of games to like last me the weekend and stuff. And that was just like, it was like a pretty cheap way of like keeping your family entertained for like a weekend.
Do you know what? When I used to come over from the UK to the States, one thing that always surprised me in the UK, when you hide a VHS tape, it was in like this protective fucking attaché case sized box that had the cover and everything.
Yeah.
And when we went to the States, they were just in like a little card sleeve that fit right over the tape. And I was like, aren't they worried about what'll happen to the precious copy of Terminator 2? Because I remember we hide it. I was like, what is this? It's just in like a sleeve, like a torn up cardboard sleeve. I couldn't believe it. It was culture shock, complete culture shock.
Remember, please be kind, rewind. Remember the stickers? Yeah. You had to rewind your VHS tapes before you took them back.
Sometimes if
you didn't rewind them, they'd charge you.
Yeah,
they'd be like,
no rewind.
Yeah,
feed.
You returned a copy of Predator and it was not rewound, so we've had to charge you 25 cents.
But you had rewound Big Wet Asses 4, so we'll let you off.
Big Wet Asses. Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. God. Fucking video stores. They're all gone now. Every last one is gone. Yeah. Blockbuster. I remember somebody retweeted a tweet from Blockbuster from like, it was like 2006 or something. And Blockbuster was like, share with us your worst experiences with Netflix. Like, all the good ones get a free rental from Blockbuster. Down with Netflix. And now it's like, all right, peace out,
tragic.
Blockbuster.
It's
you're
so
gone.
Tragic. I do wonder why they never got in on like that themselves, like the whole Netflix. Because you remember, like, what was it called? Love Film, I think. You used to get a DVD in the post from Love Film. And I think Netflix did the same thing. And Blockbuster never really did it.
No, they just didn't keep up with the times. You know, they had all of these franchises, stores, money, everything. And they just didn't invest any of that into future-proofing their business.
Well, here you go. In 2000, Netflix offered to be acquired by Blockbuster for $50 million.
Oh, my God.
But Blockbuster declined.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
I mean, I want to know which guy was like, no! It'll never catch on this internet and all these DVDs. Oh, garbage. Tape. Tape is the future. Really? crotchety old business,
I mean, back then, Netflix was... It was like a DVD delivery service, right? At that point. It was like, it was done all through the mail and stuff. And I think it didn't have those letterboxes that you should drop your DVDs off or whatever in.
Yeah.
Remember?
But you could post them back. Like, it came with a reversible sleeve. So you took it out. And then you reversed the sleeve and it had the return address on the other side. So you got your thing, you opened it up, you took out your DVD, you watched it, you put it back in, you flipped the sleeve over, taped it down again and sent it off. And that was it. You just posted them back. And the best thing was you could keep them as long as you liked up to a certain point. And then when you send them off, that's when they send the next batch. If I went into Blockbuster's corporate HQ, was like, guys, I've got this great idea. And you pitch that to them. It's like, you know, the way you want to get people into your store. Well, how about if we just sell them the DVDs directly? They just rent them directly. They'll be like, well, they won't be in the store buying the Ben and Jerry's ice cream and huge 2 liter thingies of Coca-Cola. So we're not interested. Well, I think that was it. They obviously, a lot of their margin must have come from the other shit they sold you in the store. And the idea of losing that was terrifying. And they, I mean, I guess they couldn't do both. Because if you suddenly, look, but they should have diversified. They just said, you know what, fuck it. Nobody's going to want to walk into this grimy video store when they could get it delivered to their house.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You go in there. If you go in there, like if you went in there on a Friday, I used to work at Blockbuster. I actually worked at two Blockbusters. I worked at one in Jersey when I was living over here. And then I worked at one in Orleans when I was living back in Ottawa. And when I heard that Blockbuster had gone bankrupt and they were going under, I wasn't surprised at all. Because both of these Blockbusters that I worked at, you know, 4,000 miles away from each other, were both run so horrendously by the people that worked there. Like I, the one that I worked at in Jersey had like three different managers because the other ones got fired for stealing like money from the safe.
Yeah, you know, they were super dodgy. I don't know
what
why.
What the fuck? And then the one that I worked at in Ottawa was like, wasn't much better. I think like one of the guys that was running the place was like, under investigation for some sort of sexual harassment or something.
Jesus.
But there, like the same shit was going on, like tons of theft. Like, you know, people you just watch people walk out of the store at night and they'd just be like bags full of like 2 liter bottles of Coke and stuff. And you're like, you didn't pay for that. Like, but they just, whatever, you know, like we used to get free rentals and stuff.
I guess it's
like, it was crazy.
I think it's a weird thing. It's a little bit like the whole like psychology of if something's clean already, it's easy to keep it clean, right? If somewhere's like really, really clean and nice, people will not make it dirtier. But as soon as it starts getting like messy and shitty, it will add so much more shit. Yeah. And I think like in a way, like the seedy nature of the fact that you have to lend these tapes and boxes and cassettes to people and they come back from their house and they go out to their house again and out. You know, it's almost like these discs have been touched and
sullied.
Handed around.
Yeah. Oh man, we had a common thing in both stores was with video games, okay? It was like PlayStation games. You'd get a PlayStation game back, you'd check it in, you'd open the box and the disc wouldn't be the right game. It would be like, so they kept like the good game, like FIFA fucking 2002 or whatever, the new game. They keep the disc, but they would return the box with a disc in it, hoping that you wouldn't check with like a PlayStation 1 game in there, like, you know, like Time Cop or something like that. And then you try to get a hold of these people and they wouldn't answer their phone or they'd change their number or something. And they would just steal from you. Like they would just legitimately get away with stealing like from Blockbuster and there's just nothing we could do.
I think
we'd never
like,
follow
I think
it
that's
up.
That's obviously like a classic thing though. It's like an understood thing that that's 25% loss or whatever. I don't know what they call it, grind or something or churn they call it or something.
Yeah,
I don't know,
I think
like
churn maybe. I can't
acceptable
remember.
Loss or whatever.
There's some weird like terminology to do with it and I think that's something that's always been dealt with but it's so deep. I can imagine why the Blockbuster stores became like a little bit seedy and a little bit dirty because of that very nature. I mean, it's the opposite, polar opposite is somewhere like Apple, which is the products are so crisp and clean and, you know, that you don't set, they never sell secondhand ones, do they? Do you know what I mean?
No, of course
and
not.
So it, as a result, that whole store and that whole mantra becomes very crisp and clean as well and that it feels very,
but,
I don't know,
but going to
saying?
A video store wasn't like a nice experience either. Like the one that I described before where you get the popcorn and stuff when I was smaller, that was pretty good. But like when I was working at Blockbuster, like on a Friday night, it was just heaving in there because there was no alternative. Like if you wanted to watch something that wasn't available to buy straight away, you had to go rent a movie, right?
Yeah.
So like Friday night at like 5 o'clock, there'd be like a fucking line out the door. And like you can, I think that's why like iTunes and Netflix, part of why they became so popular as well, because nobody wants to fucking stand around waiting to like watch like Notting Hill, like, you know, they turn up at like 5 o'clock so they make sure that they can get one of the thousands of copies that we had in at the time because they would just like all rent out like almost instantly, like a new release or whatever. And then they'd have to stand in line for like an hour with like fucking tired kids and stuff, just waiting to like get to the checkout. you know, they didn't have any self checkouts or anything like that. You just had to wait in a line and stuff. And it's like, oh my God. You could see that, like, the whole thing. I'm surprised they didn't see it coming. Like, I can't imagine that anybody that ran that company didn't sort of look at it and just say, fuck, maybe we got to do something different. Like, this can't go on like this forever or whatever. But obviously they didn't, because now they're gone. It's just nuts.
Damn.
Yeah. That was a really good, long, weird little discussion I really enjoyed, actually.
it was nice that it wasn't just about balls and dicks as well.
Yeah, we moved on to, like,
yeah,
we
managed to actually have an interesting chat about something that probably nobody gives a shit about, but...
Very likely, Sibs.
Being old people, we like that. So.
Do we have a bodega?
We do.
Is it part 19-o?
It's part 18.
18-o.
Bodega. Part 18. I don't like it, said Bodega, glaring out of the viewport on the bridge of the Disco Volante. He stood, hands on hips, shaking his head, staring at his hideout that sat motionless in the small asteroid field. Maybe she's on vacation, said Nebish. I don't think so. She'd have told me, replied Bodega. He ran his hand down one side of his face, then the other, and Nebish thought for one moment he'd seen a tiny spark fly from Bodega's stubble. Nebish trusted Bodega's trouble sense more than he trusted the ship's sensors. He may have been a computer nut, but he also believed that evidence spoke for itself. Bodega was never wrong. If he thought there was trouble. End of story. Want to send Varu aboard? Check it out? Asked Nebish, cocking his head. Ain't fair to send him out there just because he's a robot, Neb, said Bodega, turning and walking towards the cargo hold. He is a robot, though. Why risk a life? He ain't a robot. He's a friend of mine, said Bodega. And that's that. Fine. Wish we had a drone or something, sighed Nebish. We'll go, called Bodega. And Rab too. And with that, Nebish could hear him readying his las gun. 5 minutes later, they filed out of the Gretham insertion shuttle. Rab had his gore hammer ready, Bodega his las rifle, and Nebish his needle pistol. Reed had been needed back at corporate HQ for some big meeting, so he wasn't present, and Varu was staying behind on the Gretham. Sheila! Sheila! Called Bodega, rifle raised. Reckon she'd take off. Been away for a few weeks, man, said Rab, checking the corners of the docking port while sipping from a can of spatial brew. The base wasn't large enough to accommodate the Disco Volante, but if there was trouble, Rab was glad they hadn't put all their eggs in this one basket. Something else I'm worried about, said Bodega. Paulus, bristled Rab, raising his hammer slightly. I got a message from Tan a couple days ago, said Bodega. Said he'd wired me the money up front. $500 million squirrels, Rab. That's the kind of money makes a friend an enemy. Where did you find Sheila anyway? Asked Nebish. Recruitment agency. Couldn't think of anyone I knew that would want to push papers and make scoffy all day, said Bodega ruefully. Flarv, what if she's done a runner with the Skrells? Asked Rab. If she did, I'll find her, said Nebish, smiling. Let's check the office, said Bodega. They carefully moved through the cramped base, checking corners and angles, wary and ready for battle. You guys check Sheila's office, I'll check mine, said Bodega. Rab and Nebish began turning over papers on Sheila's desk. Nebish began checking her computer. As Bodega entered his office, he saw a note pinned to the whiteboard, a piece of paper folded in two. On the front it said Bodega, so Bodega lifted the folded flap. He heard a tiny snick sound. Behind the flap, embedded in the whiteboard, was a small green disc about the size of his palm. It had a digital readout on the front that flashed into life, displaying red numbers, 00.04. That's a bomb then, thought Bodega calmly. When everything was about to go flarvy, Bodega's mind became tranquil. This was partly a gift and partly training. He'd also been in these kinds of situations so many times that he was able to assess each one with the detached nonchalance of a man mowing his lawn in his dressing gown. First things first, thought Bodega. Gotta seal this room. He glanced left and saw Rab about 5 meters away. Their eyes met for a split second, and Rab instantly knew just how flarvy things were about to get. That big Tartanian lug had the instincts of a Zarkpothian genius leopard. Bodega slapped the big red emergency vacuum seal button, and the door between him and Rab slammed shut with a surprisingly loud hiss and a hearty clonk. 00.03. Bodega began breathing as rapidly as he could. He was getting as much oxygen into his bloodstream as possible, because pretty soon he was going to have to empty his lungs, and last time he checked, 3 years ago, they still hadn't found a way to make space breathable. While he was doing this, he thumbed the wide-angle blast switch on his las gun and turned towards the viewport at the back of the office. 00.02. This was the spare second. some more breathing. Bodega could see a small car-sized asteroid behind the base through the viewport. He leaned backward as much as he could and raised one leg in the air like he was about to start some kind of crazy drunken marching. He raised the rifle. 00.01. Bodega exhaled as hard as he could until he started to see stars around his peripheral vision. He pulled the trigger on the lasgun. The rear of the room vanished in a blinding flash, and Bodega was blasted out into space along with everything around him. His desk, a moldy cup of coffee, paperwork, his computer, a chair. 00.00. The tiny charge went off behind him, but Bodega was already traveling so fast he never felt it. He felt all the moisture on his tongue evaporate, and his eyeballs began to freeze over. He couldn't really see much of anything, and for the first time he heard real silence. The true, total silence of the void. He also saw that asteroid coming up real fast at his 12 o'clock. He brought his feet together so he looked like some kind of insane cowboy missile system in flight. His ground boots maybe had enough juice in them to slow him for impact. When the asteroid was scary close, he fired the boots by tapping the heels together just so. The G-force of the deceleration brought more stars to his already clouded vision, but a moment later he landed on the asteroid, a tiny plume of dust and pieces of rock erupting at his feet. He was about 5 seconds into this unwanted spacewalk, and he knew he had around 10 to 15 seconds left before he blacked out. He turned carefully to look back towards the base. One side of it was spewing gas into the void, and it listed badly, tumbling slowly so that it was about to go end over end. He could see the Disco Volante parked up around a kilometer away. He had to cross that distance soon, or he was going to die of being in space. Being in space was flarving awful. It was insanely cold, but he could also feel his skin burning badly from sunburn. His tongue was bone dry, his eyes freezing over like a windshield on a frosty morning. He was also starting to see beads of blood spill out into space, presumably from his body. Hell, he needed that red stuff inside him, he was pretty sure. Keep it together, pard, he told himself. Bending down carefully, he reached into his sock and pulled out a tiny shock charge. These things were mostly used for building entry. The blast was shaped so that a wave of force could be thrust through a wall to stun people on the other side. If he could plant the charge facing outwards, it might be able to get this little roid moving towards the disco. He slapped the charge on a spot he felt pretty sure was in line with the ship and ripped the go cord. A moment later, it went off silently, and Bodega noted with detached interest that the roid was now rocketing through space towards his ship, but was off angle by about 20 degrees. Close enough, maybe. He saw the Gretham spiral out of the dying station and begin burning away. The disco fired up his engines, and he saw it turning rapidly on the spot like a carousel. Varu looking for him. No time to run a scan, the robot was eyeballing it. 5 seconds left, till Bodega blacked out. The disco was around half a click now. He fired his lasgun wildly into space, trying to get Varu's attention. It worked. The disco froze for a moment, then burned hard towards him. With the last of the juice in the scram boots, Bodega launched himself off his rocky steed and held one arm out in front. He guessed because his brain was saying, "Pard, that ship is moving awful fast towards you," as he began to black out before seeing Varu in the cockpit of the disco, and then nothing. Bodega awoke, feeling swollen and extremely flarvy in his bed aboard the Disco Volante. His friends gathered around him like a bunch of old grandmothers. Bodega sat up stiffly in bed. He looked around the room, blinked his scratchy eyes a few times. "Okay, we got a new mission, fellas," he rasped. "I've decided I want to get my dog back." The end.
Oh, Bodega.
Bodega. Oh, that was glorious.
That was a good one. That was tense.
I think I like countdown
episodes like that.
You like countdowns? Yeah. Love a good countdown.
I love a good countdown.
I like a countdown.
I like the space. I like the space bit. I think I just like the words you choose for stuff. Like, I really like the way
Rocky Steed and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, and stuff like the Disco Volante burned towards him. That's like really nice kind of like space description, yeah. Isn't it? It's really, really, thanks. Really, really kind of like succinct. You know, really nice. Nicely chosen, not wasting too many words. I like it a lot.
While we're on compliments, man, I saw a picture of you the other day and I thought, you know what? This guy would look great in like a calendar next to no clothes on.
Yeah. I think I'd have to wax my forearms to get in Lewis's calendar, apparently. He likes a shorn arm. It's not going
to
happen.
Yeah, you'd have to smear vitamins all over yourself, too.
That is a thing. All right, well, listen, thank you, everybody, for listening to the Travels Podcast this week. I hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you next time.
Thanks.
Cheers. Bye. Peace.